Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Karen and Brittany. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
And today, we are finally going to get to our July book discussion. I know, don't look at the calendar. We know it's August. It's been a crazy couple of months for us here. And we are going to discuss When We Were Animals by Josh Gaylord. But first, of course, we're going to discuss what we've recently been reading. And I'm going to have Karen kick it off.
Okay, I've been super busy, so other than getting through When We Were Animals, so yes, everybody can blame me for why we were late doing that, because it's definitely all my fault, but that's okay, things happen. I'm currently reading, I haven't even finished it yet, but I'm currently reading Miss Marvel, Volume 2, Generation Y by G. Willow Wilson, and it continues to be, like, the best, definitely the best comic I have ever read, ever. I haven't read a whole lot, but I have a very hard time thinking that this, you know, anything can really top this. There's literally a panel in here where Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, meets Wolverine, and she starts freaking out, like, fangirling over him, and he, like, goes to attack her, realizes she's not a bad guy, and just, like, flips over the top of her, and she goes, "Wow, such athletic, very claws, so amaze." And it's like, this comic was made for us, like, people like us, and it's just, it's so good.
Awesome. And how about you, Brittany? What have you been reading?
Well, I had an impressive list for last week, but our schedules didn't work out, so I couldn't be on. So I've read a bunch of stuff. I read Extraordinary Means and then followed that up with The Beginning of Everything by Robin Schneider. And I loved both of them, especially I liked Extraordinary Means a lot because it was like this like outbreak of a disease, but it was like a romancy type thing. I loved it. And then I read this really weird book called Scoop by Evelyn Waugh, and it was written in like 1938, and it's about like the newspaper industry, but like it's in London, and like the way that they talk and stuff is like a very overblown like bad movie, like where like, you know, you're following people around the newsroom and they're like, you know, trying to talk fast and everything. And it was okay. It was something I picked up off of the see what other people in the library are reading in their book club shelf. And then on Karen's suggestion, I read Fangirl's Guide to the Galaxy by Sam Maggs. And like Karen was saying a few weeks ago, there's a lot of stuff you already know, but it was still a good read. And it's, I liked reading the interviews with different people that they had in there. Like, what does being a fangirl mean to you? And those type of things. And then I read Mycroft Holmes by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Anna Waterhouse. And it's, so Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. And he decided to write a book about Mycroft Holmes and what his life was like right after university and how he solves a crime. And it was okay. It focused a lot on the historical stuff. Like it was like, oh, this is a funny name for something in the like 1870s. I'm going to put it in a million times so you have no idea what I'm talking about. But other than that, it was an okay mystery. There's a couple of like funny references to like his brother and stuff. So it was okay. Then I read The Buried Giant by Kazu Ishiguro, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but that book took me a while to get into. But once it got going, I really liked it. It's very historical and like you don't know what's going to happen and like you're in the middle of nowhere, England, and then there's all these different things going on and there's creatures and it was interesting. Then I finally read The Raven Boys by Maggie.
Excellent choice.
I know. I finally picked up the first one. And the other ones have not been back in the library yet. So I'm a little upset that I started them and I can't read the sequels.
Oh, I might be able to handle that for you. Don't worry.
But it was excellent. I didn't think that I would like it at all. But it was the same type of thing when I picked up Maureen Johnson's like Name of the Star. I didn't think I would like that either. But I really did. And I can't wait to finish those. And then on my way out of the library, I just picked up this book called A Vision of Fire by Gillian Anderson and Jeff Rovin. And it was actually really good. It's going to be a series. And it's like a, you know, like one of those post-apocalyptic type things. And there's like different powers and stuff going on. I don't know. It was really interesting. But I wanted to know what Gillian Anderson was doing on a book cover that looked really interesting. So, yeah, if it was mostly her and not Jeff Roven writing, then good job, Gillian Anderson.
Very cool. All right, so I haven't been doing a lot because I'm leaving soon to go on vacation. So I've been kind of super busy with trying to like pack and shop and do all those things you're supposed to do before you go on vacation. And it's been a little hectic. But I did kind of read through Hamlet by William Shakespeare because I'm actually going to England and I'm going to go see Benedict Cumberbatch in Hamlet while I'm there. So I wanted to like refresh on all of, you know, that stuff. So I would be a little bit more aware because I don't think I've read Hamlet since high school. And then I also started reading, I haven't finished it yet, but I started The Scorpion Rules by Aaron Bowe. And it's a really cool, interesting story. So basically it's about our country and it's kind of shifted and changed so that we have climate issues and there's a lot of kind of like war and things like that. So what happens is they turn to like this ancient method of keeping the peace. And what they do is they exchange hostages. So each country takes the children of the leading of the leaders of other countries. So they all kind of have different people's children that they send to those countries. And those children are raised within the country and given a set of rules and guidance. But they're also taught that if anything ever happens, that their life would be the cost. If their parents or their country decided to have war against someone else, that they're the forfeit, which is kind of a horrible thing to have to know. So it's about these two characters, Greta and Elion. And Greta kind of takes her role in stride as a hostage, and she does what she's supposed to do. And, you know, she sees it as a privilege to be able to keep the peace in her mind. That's how it's shaped. And Elion is nothing like that. He is brought in chains because he's uncontrollable. He doesn't believe it's appropriate to take hostages and to exchange people and barter them the way that they're being bartered. And he refuses to conform to their rules. So he's kind of like this defiant one when it comes down to this idea of, you know, being a hostage is a privilege. He doesn't believe that and he doesn't want to be a hostage. So it kind of shows this world and how it's designed, and it's just really cool and different. So, I mean, it's got a dystopian vibe to it, but it's not like, you know, the dystopians we've read in the past, I guess. So I like it so far. I will keep you guys posted when I finish.
I remember seeing the poster for that at BEA and just being like, I want to read that without knowing what it was about, but it was such a cool like cover to the book.
Yeah, because it's the big throne with the red scrawling scorpions all over it.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So, yeah. So, something to keep in mind. That comes out in the fall. So, very good stuff. All right. So, let's get on with this book discussion because I feel like it took us forever to get here. But now we're here, so we're going to do it up. All right. So, When We Were Animals by Joshua Gaylord. Let's talk Buy or Borrow. Brittany, this was your choice of a book, so I'm going to let you go with Buy or Borrow first.
I'm going to say Borrow. While I did like it, I wasn't expecting to at all because it's not my cup of tea, but I thought it would play well with a lot of people. I definitely liked it. It was definitely more of an adult book than I was anticipating, but I would borrow it, not buy it.
Okay, Karen?
This is really difficult. I think I'm going to go with buy, to tell you the truth. I did like it. There were some things, some aspects about it that I didn't like. I think that it's a good book to read and then discuss in a setting like this, you know, either on a podcast or in a physical book club. So I feel like it's one of those books that you kind of should read just to kind of see how you feel about it. So I'm going to go with buy.
Okay. I'm going to go with borrow or don't bother. Like, I really did not like this book. And it's very rare that I say things like that, but I don't know what it was. I couldn't get into it. I read it all, but it was a very unwilling read. I did not like it. It was definitely not a book for me. I don't know. I don't know if it was the characterization of some things or how the kind of plot unfolds or almost the lack of a plot it felt like at times. Like, I wasn't ever sure what it was trying to say. Yeah, borrow, I guess, is what I'm going to go with. All right, so let's start with characters. So essentially, our lead character is Lumen Ann Fowler, and she grows up in this town where the children, basically when you hit puberty, you breach is what they call it, and you basically become like a wild animal, and you run at night, and you kind of do whatever you want to do, and you're very uninhibited, and that goes on for, depending on who you are, could go on for any length of time. And Lumen doesn't breach, and she doesn't breach for a really long time, so she's very different as compared to the other characters in the story. And she tells the story in two places. She tells the story as the adult Lumen, and then she tells the story of when she is a teenager. So basically, this book time hops between Lumen as an adult and where she is now, and you kind of get an idea of who she is, which is very different from the Lumen we meet in the story of her being a teenager and everything she experienced as a teenager. They're kind of, it's different and it's not different, I should say. So it's, I don't know, it's interesting. What did you guys think of Lumen and how she tells the story?
I actually really liked Lumen, especially before she breached, that sort of struggle she had with being so good and having such a moral compass. Like, this is going to make me sound really dumb, but like growing up, I felt that way too. And, you know, their expectations, the responsibility you feel when you've never done anything wrong in your life. And your parents and stuff are just like, well, I know you won't do anything wrong, so I'm not even going to bother like giving you a curfew or anything like that. And you kind of like impose that sort of thing on yourself. It kind of reminded me of the way that I grew up. And so I really connected with her for that. And then she started changing. And it was interesting for me to see how she changed and how she struggled with wanting to always appease her father, but also kind of like growing into her own person. And then as an adult, when she put on this persona of still being good and, you know, she baked cookies and she was part of the PTA and all this other stuff. But inside she was like, I could totally murder that dude. And I thought that was such a striking difference between, you know, this mask that she wore and the person underneath. And I liked the way that the story bounced back and forth because it gave you an idea of, when she was talking as an adult, kind of what was going to happen and where she ended up versus, you know, what was going on in that time as she was a kid. And you could see how much it affected her on the inside and was probably the reason why she decided to wear that mask.
Yeah, okay. I liked Lumen a lot before the breach. I was kind of hoping that she didn't actually. What she believed would end up being true because yeah. I think that Lumen was such an interesting character beforehand with all of her research and her maps and like just looking up all the different meanings of her name and what she was trying to figure out, like who she was and her place in her town. But then I think I just didn't like the author's treatment of Lumen when she was going through the breach, or maybe I just liked the concept from an outsider's perspective, like where Lumen was viewing everyone else who was breaching, like how she saw it as opposed to like being in the middle of it. I didn't like that at all. I think that was where I had the most problem, but I liked so much else of the book that it kind of like washed that part out.
Yeah, I mean, I get that part. I think Karen's part about Lumen as an adult and Lumen as before she breached, I really like that idea a lot. I think I saw a lot of that too, but I agree with you too. I think my biggest problem with like the whole idea of breaching is it felt like there was a metaphor hidden in there somewhere for when you become a teenager. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, you get to be wild and you get to do these things and it's okay. And it was so kind of rough and just, I don't know. I didn't like what it had to say, I guess is where it comes from for me. But I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Yeah. All right, I think I understand what you're talking about though, because the parts of the book that I really didn't like was this idea that like, okay, so they went out into the woods and they had sex and everything. Like, that's fine. You're right. It is like, you know, becoming a teenager. This is just kind of what happens in this town. But the idea of like, especially around Lumen, I don't know if it really happened to anybody else, of rape or almost rape, and the fact that it was like she was so passive about it. Like she laid down on the ground and her boyfriend, I guess, was like, I'm going to have sex with you. And she's like, I don't really want you to, but okay. And I get that for her back then, that was sort of part of her personality. Like, she didn't like telling people no, and she just wanted to appease everybody. But she had zero backbone. And even when she didn't want to do something, she couldn't stand up to somebody else. And that she definitely, like, dropped a few points in my book during that part.
Yeah, there was a lot of that depiction, though. It was the same thing with Polly and how Polly behaved once she breached. Like, it was, I don't know. It was just weird to read it. And I didn't, like I said, I guess for me, I don't know what the story was that they're trying to tell me. Like, oftentimes you pick up a book and you're reading it and you kind of get an idea of what it's trying to say. Like, I felt it was trying to say more than what it was letting on, but at the same time, it wasn't very clear. Like, was the breaching a metaphor for becoming a teenager and this is how teenagers behave? Was it something more? And then as the story kind of unfolds, you find out that Lumen's, because all along in the story, so part of the storyline is that Lumen's dad tells her she won't breach because her mom never breached. And so you're like, okay, so this, that's part of her good girl persona. That's why she's held in such high regard for her dad. And her dad plays a lot into that. And it kind of goes on for a really long time. And then one night, Lumen finally kind of breaches. But even when she breaches, she doesn't breach like everybody else. She is not the same. Like, everyone else goes out, they breach, they run around naked, they have sex, they do things they don't remember, they get into fights, they run in packs. Lumen stays far away from the packs. She doesn't go anywhere near them initially. She's always on the outside watching. It's always very different. And so even how she goes about breaching is different, and how she handles it is different. And then as the story unfolds, you find out that Lumen's mom never, she never breached, but she still partook in what everyone else did. So much so that even without breaching, she still continued to run well into her like early 20s, when really you're supposed to have stopped by then. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a really weird story. So her mom basically just became like this legend who ran with everyone because she liked it, not because she had to. Part of my thing is, did Lumen actually breach, or did she do it because she wanted to?
I think she actually breached because she talked about the fact that her skin got really hot and itchy, and she found herself going to the window like she was unable to stop herself. No matter how much she could sort of like get out of her own head, she could not stop herself from doing it. And I think that's the testament to the fact that she did actually breach.
Okay. So anyway, so I mean, there's that aspect of it. So we have this whole idea of not breaching versus breaching. We have Lumen. I don't know. So I don't know. It was just a really weird thing to kind of get my head around and then to watch Lumen. But here's the thing. So Lumen, once she becomes an adult, there's still parts of her that act like one of the wild children. Do you know what I mean? So I almost feel like she's very much like her mom in the regard that she didn't outgrow it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Because they said, you know, when Polly stopped breaching, she sort of moved on and she didn't do, you know, childish things anymore, and she became this other person. Whereas Lumen, like, think everything kind of goes back to the time when she was actually breaching, and she keeps thinking about it and she keeps having those urges, even if it's not something that literally pulls her out the window. She's still like, I could kill that dude.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's an interesting aspect of the story where it comes from our character. So we talked a little bit about Polly. There's also a girl named Rose. Is it Rose Bush or Rhodes Bud?
It's Rose Bush. She shortens it to Rose. So we could just call it Rose.
Okay. So Rose Lincoln, and she's kind of like the big mean girl of the bunch. She doesn't like Lumen for lots of reasons, basically because Lumen doesn't get in trouble. And when she breaches, she is like a nasty, vile thing. Like, she is not, she's really not nice. So what did you guys think of Rose?
I mean, first of all, she is the first one who we get like her full name. And I think that the names in this book are just phenomenal. All of the names, like, so we have Hondi and Petey and Black Hat. So I really liked that. But Rosebush was like the typical top of the chain cheerleader, like even though she really wasn't, like, just she ruled everything and wanted to make Lumen's life as miserable as possible, and saw Lumen lurking on the outside, but tried to bring her in only to use her as a scapegoat in the beginning. But then when Lumen started getting all the attention, when she finally did breach, like, you just wanted Rose to just crumble. And so she was, like, a fun character to root against the whole book, because she was just horrible.
Yes, I agree. Karen, do you have any thoughts on Rose?
Basically the same thing. I mean, there's really not anything to like about her. I was kind of hoping for maybe a little bit of redemption, just because I do like stories like that. Even if it was a slice of, you know, a look into her life where you could be like, okay, I kind of get it. But I don't feel like we really got that. And she just continued to be this character that was like, I don't know, just there to kind of be the antagonist, but I didn't really understand why.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not really sure if it was just like a, you know, the mean girl trope, and it was kind of like played to the nth degree with her, because she didn't really have a lot of purpose other than to be the opposite of Lumen and to pick on Lumen. I mean, that was kind of it. It was odd. All right, so let's talk about Hondi Pelt. I think that's how you say his name. And Hondi was kind of he was learning disabled, I guess is the best way to put it. And so he was kind of always picked on, and people weren't very nice to him in school. But when he breached, he became this entirely different person, and people looked up to him and kind of wanted to hang around him, and they thought he was amazing. As soon as he stopped breaching, though, he went back to just being Hondi Pelt like before. And so he was no longer acceptable. What did you guys think about that kind of like scenario, and how it, you know what I mean? How that kind of played out?
I really liked the character of Hondi, because when he was like the kid that they picked on in the beginning, they sent him into the mine and he got scared and he was just easily manipulated. But when I loved the concept of when he breached, he became this like kind of almost like untouchable being. Like, he was always at the center of everyone, but not really getting involved in anything. And just sort of like he became like the pack, unspoken pack leader. And I think they described him as like something like radiated off of him, and everyone was drawn to him. But once the breaching stopped, it was sort of like the glass shattered again. And they're like, oh, right, you're Hondi. Like, we're not supposed to, like, you know, hang around you, or you're just go back to being you. And I think that that's interesting, because I feel like a lot of people kept their personalities when they breached. And he was the only one who didn't. He was like somehow above them when they breached. But like, you have Petey kind of like stayed like, you know, the hotshot guy, and Rose was like the girl, and like, you know, Black Hat was still avoided. And it was really interesting.
Okay. Karen, any thoughts on Hondi?
Same thing, basically. He was really interesting. And I think that sort of set it up where, like, because when he breached, he changed, you understood that this was a concept that could happen. And then when Lumen breached, and at first she was kind of the same, like, she was very outside of her own self and could look at things objectively. But as time went on, she began to stand up to people, and she wasn't afraid, and she would attack, and she would win. Like, people underestimated her, and I think that he was kind of there to show you that was a thing that could happen. But I really liked that aspect of both of them.
Okay, and so let's talk. We have two characters left that we can talk about that are pretty pivotal to the story. The first one is Petey Meacham. And he was kind of the boy that is the popular jock that everyone really liked. And he ends up kind of dating Lumen. And their relationship is simple and safe. And it's, you know, pretty boring, essentially, for a while. And then when Petey breaches, he becomes a wild thing late at night. And Lumen still hasn't breached. So Rose, of course, rubs it in Lumen's face that Petey is basically sleeping with her, or having sex with her, when they breach. And it's like, the concept of breaching is, it kind of allows you to do whatever you want, is kind of the vibe I get from it. The parents don't really ask questions because they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. And so you go out, and basically if you're female, they put you on the pill. and you go out and you do your thing, and that's it. So people come home beaten up. Girls are having sex and they don't even really remember it. Like, it's just, I don't, it's a weird concept. But anyway, so these are the things that are happening when Pete is breaching. And so Lumen is really put off by it in a sense, and it becomes really difficult for them to kind of work through, because in Petey's head, he's just dirty and disgusting, and that's a part of the world that Lumen is too good to go near, and she shouldn't be brought into that world. That's kind of how he views it. And so that kind of wreaks havoc on their relationship to some extent. So what did you guys think of Petey?
Blah. I think you said it perfectly when you're like, their relationship is boring. It was so boring. And I kind of liked the idea at first that Petey was this popular guy and Lumen is the sort of nobody and he likes her just because she is so good. I think that's, a great message, and it was a really interesting way for them to get together. He didn't really care what other people thought. He just liked her, and that was that. And then, we got into that scene in the field, and then they ha started having sex, and like you could tell that she didn't care, like it didn't mean anything to her. And I was like, well, then why are we supposed to be invested in this relationship? And I think the more that time went on, the more like vanilla he got, and it was, I just had no, I didn't hate him. I didn't like him. He was just like nothing to me or the story, I feel.
Yeah, he was exactly what you said, Jen. He was boring. And then I hated the like sexual part of their relationship. I was just like, you don't need to be doing this, Lumen. Like, I wanted her to break up with him so badly just because it made no sense. She didn't want to be doing it. And it was like, the way that it was written, it was like, well, 3 times a week, Petey would come over and we would have sex and then we do our homework. I'm like, well, that's horrible. I'm so sorry for you. Like, I wanted it to end so badly,
Right,
but it just never did.
and I think this is where part of my problem with the story comes in. It's that there are these things in there that have zero purpose to storytelling. Like, it doesn't tell me anything, it only makes me angry. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really sure what that was supposed to, why, what that did for the actual story, other than make Lumen look really weak and make Petey look like an idiot. Like, it was just so weird to me. Like, I don't know. I'm having trouble explaining it. I just know I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying, but I think I liked a lot, like I liked different aspects of the story enough for me to like say that I liked the book enough, but these aspects of the book really did bother me. And I don't know whether it was because there was so much focus on them and they didn't do anything to advance the plot, and then I got mad that it was a guy writing about this like vulnerable teenage girl and purposely making her weak for no payoff. Like it That bothered me a lot, and I like usually don't go there with like blaming the author for doing something, but I just felt I walked away from the book thinking there was no purpose to certain scenes that really didn't need to be there.
I agree wholeheartedly. All right, so we kind of t have talked about the process of breaching, and it happens typically around puberty. During the full moon, you give over to your more animal-like instincts. Typically involves running around naked, gathering in packs, fighting each other for dominance, and orgies, as Brittany so kindly typed. I love it. And this is all accurate. These are all things that are in this book, by the way. If you haven't read it, then there you go. A little highlight for you.
Yeah, when I picked this book, I thought it was YA, and then I was reading it, and I'm like, oh no, I think this is a little too far for YA. In certain spots, I was like, oh, okay.
It's all good, whatever. We read lots of different things here. This just wasn't one that was my favorite. All right, so we've talked a little bit about Lumen and her father's relationship. So he basically has her up on this pedestal and reminds her every day that because she's so good, she'll never breach, and he goes on and on and on. And it's kind of an interesting relationship that is somewhat changed about what, halfway through the book maybe. We're introduced to her, or maybe 3/4 of the way, we find out that her father has been seeing one of her teachers, and then that teacher now becomes more integrated into their home life and how they are, which kind of throws Lumen completely off track. she really can't handle this new person in her life, even though she's not really new. She knows her. She's, you know, been around her quite a bit, but she doesn't like having another female in her father's life. So do you guys think that was a fair assessment of how that, like, for Lumen, do you think it was fair of Lumen to behave the way she did? Because she was kind of nasty about it.
Yeah, I think it came at an interesting time in the book, only because it was right at the part, like, where her father, like, she sort of ran into her father after she was trying to cover up the fact that she was breaching, and she actually, like, faced him in the hallway one morning. So it's kind of like, oh, I haven't been telling you this, and then she realizes, oh, he hasn't been telling me something for months, so, like, their whole, like, little fake persona of, like, this is our perfect father-daughter relationship, like, kind of all started to crumble. And I think that, I think her name's, like, Mrs. Simone or Simon or something. She was, like, kind of caught in the middle of them having to reestablish what their relationship was. And I felt bad for her just because, like, she's not doing anything wrong and the relationship was fine. She's not trying to, like, push herself on Lumen or, like, be like, I'm your new mom. And she's not even, like, moving in or anything. But I just felt bad that she got caught in the crossfire a little bit.
Absolutely.
I did not like Miss Simon at all, actually. And, I mean, I don't want to, like, lay any blame on her because, like you said, Brittany, she didn't really do anything wrong. Like, she tried to be that cool person who was like, hey, let's go shopping. And, you know, Loon's like, I hate shopping. And, you know, she just kind of missed the mark there, but she was trying. And I think that was important. But I think she was another really bland character that I just didn't care about. And I actually did really understand where Lumen was coming from. I mean, not only did her father put her on a pedestal, but her mother was up on a pedestal. And yes, Lumen was lying to her father, but I felt like that was because she didn't want to disappoint him by saying, you know, I actually did go breach. And him lying to her, I felt like was a bigger deal because, you know, he's been seeing this person behind her back. And while they kind of did the right thing that was like, you know, I'm asking you if this is okay. It was, I'm asking you after the fact. And that kind of didn't really settle with me very nicely. And I think that's why overall, I think I just really didn't like the teacher very much because she asked after everything. Like they were already doing it. There was no point in asking. They should have just told her and kind of introduced it in a way that was like, this is the thing that's going on, and, you know, we hope that you're okay with it because we're really happy, and they just never got the chance to have, like, a good talk about it.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying, because then the question becomes, like, if you're not okay with it, then it's your fault that we're both miserable. Like, if mm-hmm. you say no, then clearly, like, it's going to be your fault. So it's sort of like putting Lumen in a place where she's like, well, I can't say no, but I can act, like, a bitch, basically.
Yeah, and the way she was acting was really unfair because, you know, Miss Simon didn't do anything wrong and she was being a child about it all. But I also feel like that was really important for her character because she had been so good for so long and doing everything she was told and being happy with her lot in life. And now all of a sudden she's acting out and she's, you know, being sent to her room and these things had never happened. And I think it's meant to be there as a transition from the old Lumen to the new Lumen.
I could definitely see that. You know, I just realized we skipped talking about Black Hat Roy.
Yes.
Oh, we should talk about that.
Yeah, we kind of have to do that. I was like, oh, wait a minute. We just jumped right into the relationship. We forgot to talk. So another character that's going to come up that's rather interesting and somewhat vile is Black Hat Roy. And I don't even know how to explain him. He's one of the poorer boys in town. People pick on him quite a bit. But when he breaches, he becomes probably more savage than most. So everything that's built up for him, the hate, the anger, all the things that his circumstances have given him, kind of comes out when he breaches. And he breaches for the longest. And once Lumen starts to breach, he and Lumen have this really weird, disturbing kind of relationship. That's the only way I can describe it. Like, I don't really know what other words to use. And so he and Petey fight quite a bit because, you know, Petey's the arrogant jock and Black Cat Roy isn't going to take it. And there's an incident where some kids from a neighboring town accidentally drive into town during one of the breaches, and they get attacked and, like, violently attacked. And it was basically started by Black Hat Roy. And it doesn't end well. So Roy gets sent away, but he ends up sneaking back into town and stuff like that. And then things happen with Lumen. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Black Hat Roy and the things that went on with him?
I just never saw the purpose to his and Lumen's story, I guess.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, I get the character. I thought that he was an interesting character to have, but I don't think enough was done with him to justify anything that happened towards the end. Like, why Lumen shows up to him later on, and, like, they didn't really interact too much when she was breached and he was breached. Like, they did that one time, but, like, nothing, I feel like nothing ever really happened to make it him, like, this such vile creature to justify the actions that he pulled at the end. Like, he was always, like, just this, like, lurking, in my imagination, greasy presence, like, just always there.
Yeah.
But never really, like, having a big push to be like, oh, he's in love with Lumen, or, oh, Lumen's just this unattainable thing. Those are things I gave him, not necessarily that the material gave him. Because I wanted to be able to justify his actions at the end of the book. And I was like, oh, I guess that's it. But it didn't really feel like those were his motivations.
Yeah, there is no. And I think maybe that's what my biggest issue with the book is that I see no character motivation throughout any of the characters in the book. Like, these sequence of events happen, but there's really nothing that leads into them, or, like, there's no definition of them. Do you know what I mean? They're just, they kind of flow and they happen, but there's no motivation for each event that occurs.
Yeah, I think I was putting a lot of my own, like, I was filling in a lot of blanks.
Right.
But I didn't realize I was doing that until the end when I was like, wait a minute, like,
right.
Why did he come back? Why is he sitting outside of Lumen's house? Oh, I guess it's because of this.
Right.
Like, I never took that away from the book, but I sort of just supplied it.
Right. You filled in the blanks. So, Karen, how about you? What did you think about Black Hat Roy?
I actually really liked Black Hat Roy. I'm wondering if it's because in a sea of very bland characters, he was the most complex and mysterious, so that definitely could have been it. But I feel like he kind of got the short end of the stick a lot. I mean, yeah, he was vile and he was violent and he wasn't the best guy. You know, I'll totally give you that. He wasn't exactly a good person. But, you know, when he attacked those outsiders from another town, he was doing it because the other breachers were going to attack him. And so in order to sort of distract them, he attacked the people because he knew that way he wouldn't end up getting, you know, beat up or even killed. So I feel like it's not necessarily a good reason, but considering what was going to happen to him, it was sort of really his only choice to walk away from that situation. And I do think that he loved Lumen. I think him always showing up outside of her house and the way that he pursued her while, you know, he didn't really do it in the best way that he could. He did it in his own way. I think a way that was very loyal to his character because he was a little creepy and a little weird. But I definitely think we're meant to understand that he loved her. And it was sort of an interesting parallel to Petey's character because they both thought Lumen was this good person that they kind of didn't deserve or couldn't have. And yet both Petey and Black Hat Roy were on different ends of that spectrum. And she was sort of caught between them. But there were plenty of scenes with him too that I didn't really like. Like when they had sex in his room, I thought that was really awkward. And even the end, like I was disappointed in Lumen actually for turning her back on him when he jumped into the hole. I thought that was just like a really horrible thing for her to do. But at the same time, she was sort of telling him, you know, I don't want to be with you. This is the end for us. But there's a big difference between being like, I don't want to date you, please go away. And I don't want to date you, please kill yourself.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure if that was the message he was trying to give or if he was trying to say that he did something. And because he knew how horrible what he did was, that's why he jumped into the hole.
Yeah, I mean, he set the fire.
Right. The
But,
fire that killed her father.
right. I mean, I don't think he was intending to kill her father because her
Well, no, not at
father,
all.
yeah, her father wasn't there to begin with. But, I mean, I think that's part of his character too, is like he can't help the things he does, like even when he's not breaching. Like, you know, he set the fire. He didn't really mean to set it, but he kind of did mean it. But he didn't want to do anything bad. He just kind of can't help it. But I think, yeah, the fire is definitely part of it. But I think the other part was like he wanted her acceptance and she couldn't accept him. And so it was like the final straw for him. I mean, he's not in the best place in his life anyway. I mean, nobody likes him and his family life is terrible and he's poor and he's always dirty and stuff. So, like, unfortunately, he didn't have a whole lot to live for anyway, and I think that, you know, her turning her back on him was just like, well, what else do I have?
Yeah, I could see that mentality of it all. And like you pointed out, there were really awkward scenes, really almost violently aggressive scenes between Lumen and Black Cat Roy. I think there you're right, the sex scene between them was super awkward, and basically that was Lumen almost instigating that situation because she needed Roy to make her feel wild and free and like an animal, and she knew that if she went to him, that's what she would get. So it was an interesting like perspective for Lumen to take and to seek him out for that need in her. And then just there were other times that Roy would like threaten her or Lumen would attack him in front of everyone and stand up to him, which most people didn't do. So it was an interesting relationship, I guess, that they had. It was a little more dynamic than the one she had with Petey. Still disturbing, but all in all.
Yeah, but I think you brought up a good point there for her later life, where you said that she went to Roy like looking for something to make her feel like that animal instinct. And I think that really played over because there was a bunch of chapters told from her adult perspective, like where she just goes and like watches her husband work from behind a tree and like sort of like stalking him a bit, even though like
Right.
she's married to him, and then like at the end of the book, like breaking into her neighbor's house to
Right. Well,
like steal something, you know?
she like sits there and watches him, and she sees the pretty young teacher that comes in to talk to him, and she starts like making up stories about have they had sex in his office, and like it's so weird. And then that's that same teacher that she breaks into her house to take something of
Yeah, and like
theirs.
the teacher's just like a young girl getting married. Like it's
Right.
nothing. And her husband is so vanilla and bland, and I just never understood why she chose to settle down in that life. It sort of reminded me of like those chapters reminded me of Gone Girl, like when they're married
Right.
and she's just like living this life, like when they first move into like near his what's his name's mother's, and like she's just like living this life that she doesn't really want, and she has all of these like secret tendencies and stuff like that, and it was just weird.
There was a huge gap between, you know, the end of her breaching and the beginning of this life. And, you know, who is this guy that she ended up marrying? Because we don't really know too much about him. We don't know why she chose him. We don't know, you know, where she is or like anything that she's really done in the last however many years of her life. And well, I think that's kind of okay because there are like holes in the story, and I think you're meant to not have all of the answers. I just, you know, when you were saying like, she's stalking this girl and her husband, and she's wondering if they've had sex in her off in his office and everything. Like, I got the impression she didn't care. Like, she wouldn't really have cared if they did. And it makes me wonder, like, clearly she loves her son, but how much does she really love her husband? He's a good father, he's a good husband, but is there really any emotion there, or is she kind of just like going with it?
I don't think there's any emotion. She just, because even when she got arrested, there wasn't any emotion about it. Because she breaks into the girl's house, the neighbor watch catches her, and she gets arrested, and she's kind of indifferent. You know, he's like, okay, we'll get you help and we'll do this, and he's really worried, and she's kind of just like, yeah, okay, sure. Like that, and that's kind of how it ends. And I'm just kind of like, oh, okay.
I think indifferent is like the best way to describe a lot of Lumen's character, because she feels that way for most of the book. At the end, I kind of got more of an impression that while, I think she did feel a little indifferent to it. She was like, okay, you know, I'll go to counseling or whatever. I think it was more like she knew it wasn't going to work. She'd been through so much in her life, and she knew what it was like to be an animal. And this is just like the person that she is now, and they could do whatever they want to her, but it wasn't going to change her. And I kind of liked that acceptance of herself in that scene.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I don't know. I guess there was just a lot of openness that, like, there were a lot of things that didn't connect for me that made it difficult to kind of understand in general what the point was.
Yeah, and then, like, I mean, we didn't really talk about him that much, but the creepy teacher.
He was so creepy. Like, from, like, page one, you're like, oh, he is a creeper. And I seriously thought that they were going to, like, have an affair. I did, too. I was waiting for it.
And then, like, it was, like, okay. I was like, all right, I'm here for this affair. But then all of a sudden it took a really creepy turn, and I was like, no. He needs to be in jail. This guy, like, is not.
So basically, Mr. Hunter is a teacher at the school. It's not his real name. He used to be someone who went to school in town with everybody else. He moved away and then he moved back. And he is someone who had, like, basically a major crush on Lumen's mom. Hence the reason he's, like, being creepy with Lumen. And this is the way he finds out the true story, or she finds out the true story about her mom. Because other than that, Lumen would never have known that her mom, you know, had run wild and all this stuff. So Lumen is told that her mom dies in, is it a car accident or childbirth or what was it?
Yeah, it's like a car accident.
Car accident, right? So she's under the impression that her mom died in a car accident. That is not the case. Lumen's mom would run wild all the time. And she continued to run wild even when she was pregnant with Lumen. Even though she had never actually breached, she just liked being an animal. And she, there are these mines in town, and we mentioned them earlier where they send Hondi into them. And they kind of curve and turn and are really kind of creepy and dangerous. And Lumen explores them frequently. And in fact, she at one point finds a body in the mine. And she never reports it, which is really weird. But she goes back and visits the body. And she's able to navigate the mines, and she, you know, she maps them, so she knows how to get in and out of them. And then the problem is when Mr. Hunter, creepy man, is telling Lumen the story of her mom and how her mom died, her mom actually died in the mines. She ran into the mines and never came out. So no one really knows what happened to her, but Lumen has clearly found her mother. So did any of you think when the body was found, when Lumen found the body, that that was her mother? Because I know I did.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
I didn't. I'm the horrible at these type of things.
No mystery stories for Brittany.
I know. I think that's why I love, like, procedurals and stuff like that, because I am so bad I can never catch the killer. Like, I have to wait until the last 5 minutes.
Oh, God, I love it. So, I mean, so there was that kind of reveal as well. And then and shortly after that, Lumen loses her father in the fire. So it's a really, I don't know. So what did you guys, I mean, Mr. Hunter is totally creepy. But what did you think about the true story of Lumen's mom?
I actually really liked it. I liked that she never breached, and yet she went out there anyway. I think that after having her on a pedestal for so long, it was nice to know that, A, she was human, and B, that she was actually, you know, pretty wild. Like, probably more wild than anybody else, because she chose to live that life. And, I mean, obviously that really influences and affects Lumen once she finds out the story, but it was nice to know that her mother was a more complex character.
Yeah, and that she still had this otherness to her. Like, she did actually not breach. Like, that part of it was true, but that she had this other, like, animal instinct, and, like, it was kind of awakened when she decided to try it out, like just run with everyone else and pretend that she was Breach. So I thought that that was kind of interesting as well. Like, yeah, you're not getting a character who, like, was lying and actually went Breach, like, because that would be too easy. Like, there was this whole other layer to it.
Yes. That was an interesting aspect of the story, I do have to say. I like that her mom was different as well.
Although,
because it felt, they felt too perfect. You know, a mother and daughter combination, it felt way too, like, they were so perfect all the time.
Yeah, especially with her father, who was also really perfect, and it was like this perfect family, and it's good to know that they had secrets. But I said, I don't mind there not being some answers sometimes, but the fact that she just got up, walked into the mines, and that was it, like, we never got any explanation about that. Why would she do that? She had a family, she had a child, she hadn't breached. Like, did she finally just snap and realize that, you know, everything she did was so terrible? There's not even anything to allow you to guess what could have made her do that. And I think that is what bothers me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was like, that was like foreshadowing what Lumen was going to do. Like, this whole breaking and entering thing wasn't going to do anything. She could still go back to her son and her husband, but eventually she was just going to, I felt like she was just going to disappear. Maybe.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it was just...
I just watched Gone Girl, so this is probably... it's all probably a bad time talking about this. It was on the other night.
Yeah, so I don't know, it was just, it was a very different story, and I felt, like you said, there were a lot of holes that we don't have answers to, and a lot of things that are just unique, I guess, that were, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe, again, because I didn't really like it, and I don't know exactly what it is that I don't like about it. It didn't feel like a good read. Do you know what I mean? When you sit down with a book and you're into it, whether you like it or not, like, there's something about it that, like, pulls you in. This wasn't really the case for me with this novel. I mean, clearly Karen liked it, which is, you know, great, and, you know, so did Brittany, so that is all. So you guys have any last thoughts on this book?
The neighbor who constantly had alcoholic beverages in a cooler while they were watching the kids was my idol.
Yeah, she was pretty sweet.
Awesome.
Basically, when Lumen grows up, she changes her name to Anne Fowler, so it's very bland. Her name is Anne, and her married last name is Fowler. And so her husband knows nothing about Lumen, and they live in this little, like, suburbanite neighborhood, and they have one neighbor who's ridiculous. She's the crazy neighbor that you just want to strangle because they're on you about everything, because clearly her yard, her family, everything is perfect, and anything you do is not perfect. And then she has this other neighbor who's like, I could care less, and they drink, and they have, you know, funny conversations, and they're a little bit more wild and loose, so... She was pretty fun.
First of all, I want to say that her married last name was Borden. Original name was Fowler. The only reason why I'm like Borden, because I kept thinking of Lizzie Borden, and I was like, is she gonna just go nuts at some point? Which I kind of wouldn't like put it past her considering everything she went through. But yeah, Marcy Clapper Witt. I feel like, I don't know, that is such like a preposterous name. And like you were talking about, Brittany, the names in this book were really good. And actually the whole book was really well written. Like, it was a beautiful book to read, but I just feel like Clapper Witt, and you know, she hyphenated her name, and no offense to anybody who hyphenates their names, but it just like, it fit her so perfectly. It was hilarious.
And her daughter's name is Fancy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Fancy Clapper Witt.
All right, so just a little rundown of what the show will look like over the next couple weeks. We will not have a new episode of Book Hype next week, but the following week we will have an episode, and then in September we're going to do our next book club book, and it will be The Legacy of Kings by Eleanor Herman. And we're doing that in September because we realized it doesn't come out till the end of August, and we want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to get it and read it if they want to. So there's some things for you guys to look forward to. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.